The current spoiler warning level is crimson.
Friends and folks, for this episode, you're looking at a spoiler warning level of crimson. We're talking about stuff from Gundam Age. Pretty much season one of Gundam Age, I think, but I guess some... I don't know Gundam Age myself. I think there's a lot of stuff from Gundam Age, and I think it's very spoilery. So, you know, keep that in mind. Please enjoy the episode. Hello, friends and folks, and welcome back to another episode of Mechanista NG. I hit start streaming and then immediately hit stop streaming and caught it.
Okay. It's funny. Every time.
Not quite every time. I'm Six Detmar.
Quite a bit, though. Hi, it's me. I'm Dylan.
It is quite a bit. It's up top, you know? I mean, I...
Yeah, no, I don't... I don't blame you. It's just... All right,
but let's talk about probably a mecha.
Yeah.
Start. Let's roll a D8. Would that work? Let's try a D8. Let's see what happens when we roll a D8.
Yeah. Let's see.
Okay, I'm gonna be a little bit lost in the woods on this one.
Oh no. What do we get?
That's just age. I don't know anything from age.
Oh right, yeah.
Well, you know, sure. Okay.
Okay, what is the model number? Is it going to be one of the ages?
It's going to be, it's going to be kind of a, it's a weird one.
Oh, okay.
It's AGE-1.
Ah, okay. Well, the Gundam Age 1 normal. Oh god, I hope you're prepared, because this is the one with the most variants of all the ages.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I opened the page.
Yes, so in the show there's not, but the video game has a lot, and we gotta talk about them. Well, okay.
No, hold up.
What?
We're both forgetting because we both just woke up.
What?
We're not even gonna start with this. Dylan, How is Gundam Breaker 4?
Oh yeah, I guess we'll start with that. It's interesting. Okay, so, a lot of people, from what I've seen, actually quite like the demo, which is nice, because see, I was trying to be like, well, I'm me, so what if I'm being too nice to it? So I've been trying to, like, really, like, overthink it. Okay. So some key points. For the gameplay. Unlike the first three games, this is still not an iterative game, right? Like, it is more like the older Gundam Breaker games than new Gundam Breaker was. It is still not the same, though. Like, you know, Gundam Breaker 1, 2, and 3... are basically like, oh, you play the next one in the series and you're just like, oh, okay, they just took all the stuff from the prior game and started, like, doing a little bit more with it each time. This game is weird. It is slower. While I was playing it with others, the way it was, a good description that someone had said was that it's less of a Musou and more of a character action game with how the combos and such work.
You see?
Because the game wants you to do these long strings of combos that are, like in Gundam Breaker normally, well, I like Gundam Breaker 3, it's not a very deep, like, system for the melee, right? You're usually just hitting square and then eventually hitting triangle to do a combo ender.
Sure.
In this game, one, the enemies, at least from the three stages that they had, because obviously, this is one of the reasons I am, like, you know, not able to say as much, because there's still a lot of questions about, like, how later mechanics will work, but they have three stages in the demo, and the enemies are individually, generally speaking, stronger. So, when you are 1v1-ing, it is not quite as Musou-y. It is more, you know, you are having, like, a fight with an enemy. The game wants you to do big combos and such. It, you know, it gives you a rating and all that. And the left-right weapon system... So, they only had one-handed weapons in the demo. The left right weapon system was interesting. But yeah, they only had sabers and axes. So between the two, obviously axes slow, bigger damage, sabers faster, you know. And alternating between them is fun, because the way it works is whatever one you start attacking with first, you're doing your quick attacks with, and then you do a, like, follow-up with the other weapon that's usually, like, some kind of strong attack. Like, if you're swapping the sabers, depending on the direction you were pressing, it can do different things, like doing an uppercut, which, you know, then you can lead into doing more aerial nonsense. The game needs a command list because it has a surprising amount of moves compared to earlier Breaker games. And I didn't know all of them. Sometimes I would just do something and I was like, oh, that was really cool. I don't know how I did that. Like, you know, like there was a cool like spin slash that I could end some combos with. And I still don't quite know how I did it. I mean, also the demo is in Japanese and the UI is completely different. So even with my limited knowledge of reading Japanese, it was like, oh, okay. A couple of other little features, just gameplay-wise, that they've changed. So, while painting, the paint screen is probably my biggest complaint. It is a little bit overly complex. Now, they could simplify it, you know. The thing is, the game only got announced a month ago, and this demo just came out, and this demo's only 5 gigabytes big, as opposed to, like, you know, Breaker 3 was 15 for the full game. So, this is an early build. You can kind of tell. So they can always improve some of these things. The UI is a little clunky when it comes to doing the painting and, like, building and all that, just compared to 2 and 3. They did add a couple of neat little features. So there's 8 builder's parts instead of 7, so you can add 8 little parts to you. And the builder's parts do have either options or EX skills associated with them. EX skills and options are a little different now. So funnels and stuff are back to being EX skills rather than options. I get why, because if you played Breaker 3, you knew that
you just drowned yourself in funnels because they were really good.
Yeah, and then you could just launch all of them because they were options. So they're actually EX skills now and do their own thing. Still work the same once you launch them, but you know. And also funnels are even more valuable in this game because this game wants you to be doing combos and stuff and gives you little bonuses for it. And obviously whenever a funnel shoots, it adds to your combo meter. The options are the only other complaint I would have really. So the way options work is they are tied to a singular meter. And then how fast that meter recharges depends on which option you use, right? So if I use, like, a headbutt or, like, the simple shield combo or beam saber combo, it recharges pretty quick, like, after, like, you know, like, 2 seconds, basically.
Okay.
But if you use something like, trying to remember, like, good example, the full armor unicorn. It's propellant, so it has the thing where if you're using the backpack, you can do the 2-stage fly at them with the propellant tank and then launch the propellant tank at them when you press the button again. That one had, like, a 30-second cooldown. But then it's like, well, damn, I can't use any of my options. The options are much more of a commit, and I get what they're going for with them. I kind of hope it's not, like, I just hope there's not a lot of ones where it's like, oh, now I have to wait a whole minute before I do an option again. Now, the caveat being here, I had 3 stages. They don't have the ability to merge parts or level up parts right now. You know, you're just getting what you drop. And parts have the thing from 3 where, depending on their rarity, like, oh, I got a 3-star part. That means it has X number of random skills. So there might be random skills that are like, oh, options, recharge faster, etc. So that's why it's kind of hard for me to judge from an initial thing.
And it was kind of fun, right? But in Breaker 3, you could have a, like, a lot of my later game builds ended up having so many options that I could not run out of options.
Yeah,
because they all had individual meters, and just by the time you used up one, another had refilled.
Yeah. So that it's something that's like up in the air for me on that. That's like my major complaint. The only other complaint I really had was that there's a couple of graphical glitches that I noticed, like. When you launch, another full armor unicorn one, but when I launched the shield funnel off the back, the psycho frame got stuck on my back. Like the shield and the Gatling flew off my back and were doing their thing. But for whatever reason, the psycho frame got left behind. It was just that was like the one specific, like, graphical one on a move that I kept noticing. I was like, oh, I mean, that's something they can iron out again. This is obviously an early build. So, it's just, like, little stuff like that. Also, sometimes when juggling enemies in the air, their animations would, break, like, just weird things like their torso rotation. I think the game's very obviously, actually, on a new engine that I don't think is the same as New Gundam Breaker or Gundam Breaker 3, so that would probably explain why they have to, you know, iron out some of these things. But again, we don't even know when the game's release date is, and this is an early beta, so... For all I know, they could, this, you know. Breaker 1, 2, and 3 all changed pretty significantly from their initial demo to the final game, especially, like, 1 and 2. So, you know, it depends on how long it takes until they release it, but... again, some features not in the demo include, like, I was never able to go into a shop, so don't know how the shop works, one interesting thing about the EX moves that they did as a change, this was kind of observable in the trailer. You now have a singular meter for those two, but it keeps building up. It's like a fight game meter, right? Like, it can charge up to 9 charges, and EX skills cost a different amount of charge. You can also do an interesting thing with the builder's parts, where when you, if they have an EX skill associated with them, like the shield bits from the Keratom, when I choose that EX skill, I can actually choose how powerful it is by selecting more of the quote-unquote option part, like, to send out.
Oh, interesting.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, like, technically speaking, you still always send them out for the animation, right? Like, so if I only selected one shield bit, it still sends out all of them when I launch them, but it's only got the power of, like, if I had one equipped. But I can select up to, if I have all 8 slots as shield bits, I can select all 8, and now it's 8 times stronger. But also it costs 8 out of your 9 gauges, which is kind of hard to get to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It doesn't... From what I can also tell from all the meters... You can, unlike Breaker 3, you cannot memorize X-Acts. It is going back to, with being more of a character action, it is going back to, like, the Gundam Breaker 1 and 2, hey, your part selection is still going to be important. Like, I don't know how the level-up system works. It might still have more freedom overall than them. Because I did notice that, like, parts don't seem to have inherent, like, stat differences in the same way. You know, like, a level 6 part and a level 6 part are pretty similar. It's not like, oh, the Gundam's parts are much better than the Gym's parts, right?
Sure.
But if you can't memorize X-Acts and options, you know, unlike in Gundam Breaker 3, you're still going to have to care a little bit more about what parts you put on. Whereas by the end of Breaker 3, if you've memorized every X-Act, basically the only thing that matters is, oh, I have different options. But of course, there's builder's parts, so you can kind of make any option happen, which there's still builder's parts in this too, so you can still, you know, theoretically the GN drives are going to be in this, so you can still put Trans Am on anything by throwing a GN drive on it, I presume.
Probably, yeah.
But, you know, it's something where you do have to care a little bit more about that. There's a couple of neat little features, actually, that I'm going to show you real quick, Six, that I have screen caps of that I thought were neat. So, you can adjust every part now, slightly. So, like, you know when you're on a builder's parts, how it's like, oh, you have your X, Y, and Z, right? I'll actually post these in the Jamboard also. So give me 1 second, copy image. I'll just post them in the Jamboard. I posted one at you, and then I realized, right, you're looking at the Jamboard. So, sorry, Gundam Age. Oh, god damn it. Nope. Jamboard, please. I want to paste the thing. Eh.
No.
Oh. There we go. Okay. And then let me get the other image for comparison, because this will make it evident what I was allowed to do with the Gundam here. So, you can see on the left there's, like, those meters. Sorry it's photos, but I can't upload to X via PlayStation anymore, so even though I took screen caps on the PlayStation, you know, I don't want to have to plug it into a computer now and transfer everything.
Oh, you don't have to do that. It's still annoying, but if you take a screenshot and you have the PlayStation app, it automatically saves your PlayStation app on your phone, and then you can post it from there.
Oh, that's actually, okay. That's good to know, actually. Okay. Okay, it is not letting me paste this image, so hold on. Let me try it this way. Open link. Copy image. Control V. No, Jamboard, please. It normally works. Like that, you know? Well, shit. I was the one who pasted that last image, right?
Yes.
Then why the fuck is this one not pasting? Jamboard, please. I need to show everyone the bald Gundam, damn it! Copy image, paste.
I got it.
Okay. I was going to say, you can see the chat. So. Yeah. So, the main thing is that, while I was saving parts, while I was messing with parts, I noticed that there's an option called component on a couple of parts, like the Gundam head. So you can actually sometimes remove little bits of the mobile suit just for visual purposes. I just thought that was neat. It's kind of inconsistent, like, the Ground Gundam's head, you cannot remove the V-fin, but also it has a bigger, different V-fin design, so I kind of get it. But it was still neat. Other ones I noticed were, like, you can turn off the Goof's horn, which is very abnormal for the Goof, because the Goof usually always has the horn. Or, the various horns on the Dove and Wolf's head, you can, you know, make the Dove and Wolf head relatively smooth, it doesn't have all the little antenna on it. The Jigen torso, like the one there, you can remove the little bumps on the sides of the torso also. Just, it was seemingly a bunch of random little things like that. Not only that, but it does allow you, like you can see there, to mess with the X, Y, and Z axis of the mobile suit in the upper left there, and also with the scale of it. So even though they still have high grade and master grade parts, it does let you fudge the numbers a little, so it's like, oh, I don't like the way my torso looks with these legs. I can make the torso a little bigger and maybe, like, raise it up a bit more. I just think that's neat, you know, as, like, a little, like, customization feature. Trying to think about any other customization features like that were new. Paint has a lot more going on, like, with the weathering. When you choose the chipping, you can actually choose what the chip, like, underneath looks like. You saw the pictures that were there. That one I purposely made look rusty. Like, I chose a copper undertone, and then, you know. You can also choose when you're doing, like, the airbrush effect, quote-unquote, like, oh, what color is the airbrush? So you can have it so it's like, oh, I ran a black airbrush over my kit, like, real quick, you know, so it, like, makes all the colors a bit darker. And you can also choose things like the panel lining color. Now, the panel lining wasn't, like, super, super detailed, but, again, it's neat that you can actually, like, mess with... It's got more granular options when it comes to visuals, which is fun. You know, because a lot of people will enjoy making their own Gunpla. Overall, I am still cautiously excited about the game, which is better than I felt after the demo for, New Gundam Breaker, you know? New Gundam Breaker, I came away from that demo going, oh, I really don't like this. Whereas this one, I'm going, oh, there's a lot of interesting changes here, and I don't know how they'll necessarily play out, but I'm excited to see. And, you know. Even if there's still a little trepidation, because the demo is very limited. It's hard to know, like, I'm like, there's still a lot of questions in the air, basically.
Right.
But, hey, at least I didn't come away from it feeling like, ah, this is going to be terrible, like I did with New Gundam Breaker, you know?
Sure, yeah.
So, not to say a silly phrase that everyone will make fun of, but this has potential if it's done right. You know, that's the feeling. But yeah, like I said, I thought it was fun. Didn't really get any new parts, unfortunately. All the parts were familiar to me. The one set of new parts to me, as someone who played Breakers 1 through 3, is they had the perfect G-Self as a thing in there.
Huh, okay.
Yeah, so that was like, oh, hey, that's like one new set of parts. Everything else was just your usual. It was Zaku's, Jigen's. They definitely picked a set of equipment that would be simple, because I'm assuming they're still working on the game. Again, the demo's only 5 gigabytes, so there's clearly not all the data here, right? But, alright. Moving on to Gundam Age, the Age 1 normal. Alright, let's talk about it. So, the Age 1 normal is the first titular mobile suit of Mobile Suit Gundam Age. It's piloted by Flit Asano. It is primarily used in part 1 of Age, though it is still used in all 3 parts, you know, like, by usually, like, at the start of part 2, it is used by Asamu. In part 3, it is still used by Flit. When I say part, the thing about Gundam Age is there is a, for those who don't know, this was kind of their big marketing push. It's not, like, the hugest spoiler, which, I mean, if you're listening to this point in the episode, I'm presuming you know this is going to be about Age. But the show, you know, has a generational cast and has 3 distinct parts that are in 3 distinct time periods. The Age 1 normal is the RX-78 equivalent. They did outright, you know, in the art book especially, go, hey, we wanted each part to have a design that felt like, you know, it corresponded to a different part of, you know, Gundam. And the Age 1 is just like the RX-78. You know, it's simple.
Sure.
So, this is by Kanetaki Ebikawa, and I quite like this design. To start, the head, you've got a kind of a neat new Gundam head design. So, again, this is by Ebikawa, whose first Gundam design, everyone would know, is the Gundam Exia. So, with the Age 1 here, I do love the backline art that we have, by the way. We don't have, like, a back sete, so it's, like, Ebikawa's very detailed art. I just think that's funny. Just seeing it next to the other art. But, the H1 here, starting with the head, we've got a pretty unique Gundam head, I would say. On the whole, like, it is trying to evoke the RX-78 in terms of the shapes, but it's got a lot of weirdness going on. So, for instance, instead of, like, a forehead jewel, you've got this, like, little inset camera, that, has, like, sort of a light blue lining on the upper outer parts of it, but then is, like, black in the middle and black along the bottom of that. And then at the sides of this little, like, the area around it, you've got, you know, just white armor going around the top of that. You've got a little forehead guard protruding down over the face, you know, kind of like a standard Gundam forehead there. But then the V-fin pops out, and the V-fin is, like, very flat. It's a pair of very flat horns that are going out to the sides, and no actual forehead gem. Then you also have the mohawk along the top, much like most Gundams, you know, with the camera on the front and back. It's got, like, these, it's similar to the Exia here, actually. It's got, like, a color in the middle of the head on the top. In this case, it's a gray that runs from the front to the back of the head along the, you know, top middle. You get more white armor on the sides of the head. For the cheeks, you got, like, little cheek vents. And the cheek vents actually have, like, a hexagonal plate that is, like,
yeah, like little flaps.
Yeah, which is a, you know, that's one of the real unique looks on this, which I like. For the eyes, very standard Gundam eyes. You've got 2, you know, bluish eyes. The color is a little unique because it's, like, this teal color for the eyes in the camera on this, but you still got the red under the eyes. You've got a double face vent. The face is very classic Gundam. The only thing that's a little different is On the tops of it, on the cheeks there, you have, like, a little bit of an indentation on the armor. So instead of, like, your usual just straight line down, it's got, like, a kind of angled line, that, has, like, more gray inside of the face. Kind of, like, actually thinking on it, like, the Freedom Gundam, right? Freedom, it's, sure. It's a little bit more subdued than the Freedoms, because the Freedoms... cheeks stick out a bit more, but it's, you know, it's still got a two-tone thing happening with the face. Mm-hmm. Moving on to the chest, we've got a yellow collar. You've got you know, your distinct pectorals where you've got a yellow vent, yellow triple vent inside of the torso. The way this is in the torso is also very first Gundam, actually, right? Because you've got the blue around, and it's just the three yellow slats. Just kind of like the built-in vents of the Arc 78. Because, you know, normally you get the Mark II style where it's got the yellow all around. And you've got, you know, the slats surrounded by its own color. Mm-hmm. Just an interesting little note. Then for the middle of the chest, you have the big A. It's a big, like, chest camera that has, you know, white armor around it. And then in the middle, you've just got, like, a sort of stylized letter A. It's more of a hexagonal. It's like if you wrote the letter A in a hexagon, sort of, like, with the shape. But, yeah.
Sure.
Because it's age. Then you've got the, and that is actually, the cockpit hatch that itself is. So that pops up and open. I'm gonna see if I can find a picture of the hatch open.
Yeah, there's a shot from the model kit I saw. There's the manual.
Yeah, okay.
So here we go.
Yeah, I'll let you grab that. And then it's got, like, a little blue pleat in the middle on the bottom. It's got a very Freedom-shaped torso, actually, too, now that I think about it. Like, it's got the red armor in the middle, but then, like, as it hits towards the front, it, like, juts down into the lower armor, which just is very similar to the Freedom shape. It's a little more connected, not as sharp as the Freedoms, because, like, you can see below that blue armor piece in the middle, you can see that there's some red armor, you know, in between, like, the whole lower torso is connected instead of having two free-floating, like, red spikes going down, which is, the, on the mm-hmm. Freedom, you know, they're, both halves of the torso are, like, just pointing down. And then you've got a little gray block on the very bottom of the torso. The gray block, when, Ebikawa is, like, going in on the detail art, tends to have these, like, nice little vents. Actually, here, I'm gonna post the, front detail art. Just because this was actually, like, used as Sete also, it is just, you know, whenever they wanted to have, like, a very detailed shot of it, they would use this as the reference instead. Mm-hmm. So, just may as well have both up. So yeah, you can see, like, you know, usually when they want to add detail to the chest, they'll do these, like, cool vents down the sides of the gray there, which I actually quite like the design of. For the shoulders, pretty simple shoulder armor. It's your usual. You've got, like, a pauldron with a smaller bit of armor on top, and then the outer armor going around is a bit thicker. The shoulders on the Age 1 are in all white. It does have, like, a little flap at the base of the shoulder. I believe these are thrusters, like, on the outer part of the shoulder. Then for the arms, very blocky, actually, including the joint, which is a little different, right? Usually you have a circular area that connects into the upper body, or it's, like, a bit more rounded. On this, it's just, like, a, you know, that's a cube connecting into the torso. Yeah. And then for the biceps, simple white armor. This is another one that usually when they do the high detail shots, they'll add these... this, like, weird arrangement of double vents. Again, I actually really like the way that these look when it's got, like, the extra detail, breaking it up. But, otherwise, just, you know, simple bicep, nothing too fancy going on there. Simple, double block joint there. And then for the lower arm, you've got a arm that, starts pretty standard. It does get thicker around the cuff, where the fist is coming out of. And then the hands have an interesting connection, too. You can see that the wrist is actually, like, circular. Like, the hands, if you look at, like, the armor, right, you can see that it's, like, the hand is around a circle. And, you know, it's able to move up and down on that. It's just, like, a really weird wrist piece, though, overall, for, like, a Gundam. And then you've got your standard five fingers. That's, the hands themselves are normal. It's just, the wrist is kind of an interesting, like, you know, circular piece that I think is actually pretty unique and pretty cool.
A disc frame.
I guess kind of. Drum frame?
Sure, that's what I wanted to say. Damn it.
But I knew what you meant, though, so it still worked. For the waist, the central crotch piece, you've got your standard crotch piece with a red part on top. Two front skirts. The front skirts do have a, like, the yellow packs, very similar to the design of the first Gundam. And then it's white armor below those, the yellow pieces. The yellow pieces also are much bigger than on the first Gundam, and they're what actually connect into the center bit for the skirt. You have two side skirts that are very boxy. The beam sabers are actually kept in these side skirts. You can see that it's got very square beam sabers. Usually in the series when the beam sabers are shown, rather than being your standard cylindrical beam saber-like effect, going with the fact that they are flat, they have, like, a sort of wider, flatter blade. Then the rear skirt, very similar design to the front skirt, and same with the rear waist. The rear waist block, you know, when in simple detail, it's, you know, just a block. It does have the ability to store its rifle back there, like, it can plug in. Fancier art, you can see, like, the mechanism there, like, where the back plate will pop up. But, you know, in the show, they didn't really go super detailed on it for the sete. But, anyway. For the thighs, very interesting thighs here. You've got thighs with, like, four distinct plates of armor. You've got the front plate, you've got two distinct side plates, and the rear plate. They're all in white, but the way the lines work is, I think, really good looking, actually. I really like this. This design is very Ebikawa in a lot of ways, right? Lots of lines breaking up the parts. Even though he's trying to evoke the Arc 78 here, he's still doing a lot more, like, you know, breakup of the parts, even within the same color. I do like these thighs, though, just because they've got a fun shape. You got your standard double joint for the, you know, legs there. The lower leg, pretty standard armor. Again, lots of, like, lines breaking it up in, like, little segments. Like, you've got, like, for the knee, the biggest detail is that the knees are actually black on the front of them. And then they've just got, like, almost like an A shape as well, basically, to the knee, right? Like, with the way the black is, like a capital A. For the size of the leg here, you've got, much like the thighs, you've got, like, these little plates in the side, that are, on this one, a little thinner, and on the inner thigh, they are a bit shorter than the outer one, but just a neat way of putting the leg together so that it, like, has nice shape breakup, even while being simple. I am sure Ebikawa was trying to be friendlier to the animators, with this one. Plus, this design was originally made for a video game. Always keep that in mind with Gundam Age, is that it was a game first, and it getting the anime was actually kind of like a later thing. Level 5 wanted to make a Gundam game, and they were like, yeah, sure. And then they were like, hey, you've written this whole thing out. What if we did an anime on it also?
Did they do a good job with the game?
The game's fine. Yeah. Obviously the story beats would still have the same problems that I would have with Age in the anime. However, the gameplay is pretty fun. It's like a modified version of Little Battlers Experience LBX, if you've ever played those games.
I haven't.
Like, it's a little SD 3D game, you know, third-person game where you lock on to enemies. You have, like, a melee weapon and a ranged weapon. While you're attacking, you eventually build up, like, a little meter that lets you do special attacks. It's a fun little game. I like it. It's got, customization, because, you know, we're gonna have to talk about the Age and its wares, So it's got that kind of system, right? The torso and head are one unit, then the arms are another unit, and then the legs are a unit. That's kind of like the three distinct parts of most of the primary Age Gundams. As you move down to the bottom of the leg, you do have a sort of the ankle guard is a little bit weird on this one, because it is like kind of more embedded onto the leg armor than onto the foot armor, but it is like clearly like a separate piece, and it is like movable.
Kind of more tall geesey.
Yeah, very tall geesey. Yeah. For the feet, though, the feet are kind of interesting. You've got a kind of a taller foot overall than you normally get on a Gundam. It's not really like it has high heels or anything. It's just the foot is taller.
It has tall heels. Tall heels, yeah. Really high.
They're just not, yeah, they're not high heels, but they are tall heels. So you've got your white armor on top, white armor on the back of the heel that, you know, is quite tall, like you had said. And then you've got your foot armor on the bottom that is in red. It's got like a little vent on the front of the foot there. Finally, for the backpack, you've got a backpack that plugs in and is basically like a set of... You've got two thrusters on the outside top of it that are, you know, facing directly back, and a thruster facing at an angle on the bottom, a larger one. Then you've got like a big, like, almost like a vent in the back middle. You know, you can see all the little slats there on the rear. And then this Gundam has a spoiler, as in a spoiler, like the car spoiler, which is something I've always liked with it. I think it's a fun little thing.
I don't like the age.
Oh really?
But okay. Its backpack is pretty good.
Okay. Yes.
It's really just the core. I mean, like, it is the age thing. It is the core, like, big A. I just think looks so bad and ruins the whole design.
Really? Okay. See, I think it, like, feels like it evokes, you know, Okawara's love of doing gems on the 90s Gundam AU designs, you know? Like,
and, you know, I don't, you know.
And the Gundam X and all that.
It feels, to me, it feels so emblematic of, like, I mean, it, to me, the age looks like a Gundam knockoff and not like an in-universe, like someone else, like a different show making a, you know, if you were to have a tribute to the Gundam in Toy Story, this is what it would look like. I really just think it looks like shit.
This is so bizarre to me, because I remember everyone really liked this design when it was debuted, because they were like, oh, hey, it's an interesting, refreshing take, and Ebikawa, much like the Exia. Just funny seeing someone dislike it like that.
And, you know, there's a lot of good things about it, but it's just like, it has like this core chest part really just looks, it looks Halloween City to me. It looks so bad.
So okay, fair enough.
Backpack's really cool. I like that backpack. I put it on a lot of things in Breaker 3. I will probably put it in things on Breaker 4.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really like the head also, for me personally, but
yeah, I respect what they're doing with the head. It's not for me.
Fair enough. All right. Well, then we've got its armaments to talk about. So I saw that. I'll just get rid of the high detail sete and that, because you already have a picture with its primary armaments there. So for its armaments, we've got the Dodds rifle, which is the beam rifle in the right arm. It's a pretty simple beam rifle overall. Do they have like detailed art of it? No, they don't. Of course not. Damn it.
But do you know the acronym?
No, I actually forgot.
Drill Orbital Discharge System.
Oh, weird. Okay. So the thing about the Dodds rifle is, well, yeah, that's the thing. It spins the beam, which is probably one of the goofiest gimmicks as to why a beam is stronger on something. I do like this rifle's design, because it's got like a weird, it's got a camera on top and a camera on the side, which is kind of fun. You know, just your green little scopes. It's a very simple rifle design, though, for the H1. I mean, it looks like a, you know, it's a rifle, right? Very, it's a beam rifle. The spinning the beam thing looks cool, like, when you see the beam effect, right? But it is something that I just think is a little goofy, because I'm like, wait, spinning a particle beam I don't think would really do all that much more. But
I don't know enough about how particles... I mean, like, I know, obviously, spinning a projectile does something. Maybe by spinning the beam, you help it, like, not dissipate over distance?
I mean,
somewhat?
Maybe?
Maybe? Maybe?
It's a little goofy, still.
Yeah.
Nevertheless. True. But it does make cool effects when it fires, because they love to do the thing where, you know, obviously this is not in motion, but they like to do the thing where, like, when it fires, when they want to do a very detailed shot of it, it will, you know, have a bit of a spin to the colors on the inside, and then you can see that it has, like, the little energy dissipating out around it, implying the mm-hmm. spin. So that's fun. Then you've got the beam sabers, slash daggers on the arms, side skirts. The reason these are called daggers is because they are able to adjust their size, and they can pierce through, you know, the armor on Vegan units. It's got a shield, very simple shield, and do like the shield also. It's, I you know what though? I guess the other thing though is, like, kind of going with what you said, the reason why the Age 1 is so simple is because it's the first one that you get also. Mm-hmm. Like, because, mm-hmm. I mean, you've seen the Age 2 and all that, and the 3, I think, before. So,
sure.
You can tell that they definitely up the detail over time with them too. But the shield is, like, a very simple shield. You've got a white armor plate along the top, and then you've got, like, a little bit of blue in the middle, shaped like an upside down A. Woo! When you're looking at it, there. And then you've got a little bit of white armor in the middle of the A, and then at the very bottom of the shield there. Very simple shield design. Don't mind it, though. At the beginning, before it has its rifle, it does use the Genoese's little beam spray gun, but we'll talk about that whenever we talk about the Genoese. Marker shot. I don't even remember this. Let's see. That was in episode 4. Okay, I guess... Oh, right, when he's doing, like, a mock battle, he's using... essentially, like, a little, like...
Paintball gun.
Yeah, kinda. I think it...
Beam paintball.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's, like, more like a laser tag gun, but, you know. And then, it's got the beam rolling lance in the PSP. Oh, the beam rolling lance! Yes! I could bring that up ahead of time.
I can't find any shots of this.
But... Yeah, you can't, but I can, because I've got, hold on, let me pull up the age book. This is the funniest weapon ever, and it's in a cutscene at the beginning of the game also. So at the beginning of the show, right, the way the age system works is the age system itself is like a big, let me see, where's Mechanics and World? Because I know what series of books this is in. So at the beginning, the age system is like a big 3D printer, like the actual age system, and it tries to create weapons based on data, and, like, you know, that's the whole thing with, like, them fighting the Vegans is, like, oh, hey, you know, we have a thing that can analyze combat data and create new weapons or new equipment and whatnot on the fly that will be helpful, hopefully. And in the game, the beam saber that you are using is ineffective, and instead of you being sent the rifle in the initial bit, you get sent this thing. Where the fuck? Hold on, sorry, give me one moment. This book is actually very important for me to have also because it has a lot of the game-only stuff in it. And, well, okay, here we are. Age, Mechanics, and World, and then... Oh god, all the RPG weapons on this fucking page, because the game has a lot of weapons. I'll word it that way, because it is an RPG. Alright, where is the Weed Whacker, damn it?
I'm just looking at the GXs. This is a cool machine.
The GXs is a cool machine. Here we are. Alright, found the thing. So, it uses a beam rolling lance, which is essentially a big fucking weed whacker. What happens is it holds it in an Obari pose, because it actually replaces the cutscene. It has a fully animated cutscene for this in the game, which is always wild to me, because the game actually has, like, these fully animated cutscenes that at times look better than the show, probably because they're like, well, we're only animating for, like, you know, 2 minutes of a game this week. So, and it spins, that little spinny part with the four beam sabers on it spins really fast, and it is a giant beam weed whacker, and it fucking plows that into an enemy and rips it in half, which is great. I love it. It is so stupid, but in a very fun way. to me.
It's a very silly weapon.
Uh-huh. There's actually a lot of generic weapons in the game, by the way, that I'm just going to share right now. We're not going to go through all of these because they are video game only for a lot of these. You know, when we talk about specific ones on wares that are like, that belong to them, you know, that they'll come up, but, those will come up as we talk about the wares. But as you can see, the game has a lot of weapons because it is a video game.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs a lot of weapons. These can be used by any mobile suit in the game. And there's a lot of different sabers and whatnot. I actually love this about the game because especially now that we have the art, it's just fun to see them go like, well, shit, we have to make a bunch of different weapons. And they have to make beam and heat versions because there's two different damage types in the game, you know?
Some of these are pretty cool.
Yeah. You know.
I like the candelabra spear.
God, yeah. Here, real quick, let's get rid of these now. It's great also because, like, you saw that there were hammers. They had to come up with a whole concept for beam hammers, so here's all the beam hammers, and then there's all the beam machine guns on the left. Believe most of these are made by Ebikawa, so, you know, makes sense. But, yeah. Lots of different weapons.
Wow. Yeah.
I love it. I think it's great. The funniest ones are, like, the categories that have to be kind of weird. Like I said, beam hammers are a very funny concept to me, but again, a hammer was a type of weapon, and they need to have both, you know, available. So you get all these fucking tenderizers. But yeah, no. It's fun. Alright. We mentioned the age system. The age system is the OS used by the age itself. And it is able to collect data while fighting. It is also, like, it, you know, bases, like, what it does also on the pilot itself. So, kind of the excuse for the video game to have experience, right? Because, oh, you know, you level up because what it is the age system is getting stronger, kind of thing.
It researches the evolution of living beings by digitizing the mysteries surrounding it.
Yeah, that's a real weird way of wording that. That feels like they, Google translated something, I think, because that's a very awkward sentence there. But yes, there's also the age device, which is, I guess I kept calling it the age system, but there's the age, well, no. What is the big...
There's the system and the device. The device is the thing the person has, the system is the thing on the machine.
Yes.
On the
Mac. What's the big fucking 3D printer called, though?
I don't know. The age builder?
Probably the age builder, yeah. That makes
sense. There's no explainer of this, but they mentioned the age builder, so I assume...
Okay, yes, the age builder is the big 3D thing, yeah. It's the advanced mobile factory, is what it is called, but that's very funny. It's a big 3D printer. That's what it is. And then as it mentions, there's the wear system here, if you're on the wiki, which we will talk about. So the arms and shoulders and the legs are detachable, and they allow an alternate set of wares to be able to be equipped. Later on, a support craft is made so that the Age 1 can swap out its parts, like, on the fly. It's called the Amembo system. I don't know what Amembo stands for. Oh, Age Mechanical Equipment Moving Bot. It was never mentioned in the name of the anime. Okay. It's basically just, like, a little frame that wears the arms and legs and basically can, you know, fly into battle and swap the parts with the age unit. So, yeah. There are many wares for the age one, the most of all of them, because it is the simplest design, so it's very easy for them to do this. We'll go through them in the order of the wiki here, so it would be the two anime ones first, and in the order they appear in the anime, it would be the Age 1 Titus. So, let's talk about the Age 1 Titus. Alright, the Age 1 Titus. The punchy one. So, the Age 1 Titus.
Wow, thanks, Wiki. This image is shit.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. This is a melee combat specialized form. It has beam emitters all across the body, on the shoulders and the knees and such. I guess I'll just quickly describe them because, you know, we're going to be talking about a lot of different things in this episode. So the shoulders have been replaced with these big red circular shoulders. You can see that it has four beam emitters on the outside facing outward. The arms themselves are much bigger, chunkier versions of the arms that the, you know, that the H1 has. The wrist cuffs are big and red, and it actually has a separation at the wrist cuff for the beam lariats, which are a weapon on this. And then the hands are fucking huge. Big versions of the H1 hands. For the swapped out legs, you've got the side skirts and rear skirt are... The rear skirts are the same, but they are colored red now, and then the side skirts are, like, these little red plates. Front skirts, you lose the main skirt, and you just have, like, the little yellow parts, basically. And then the thighs, gigantic fucking thighs on this Gundam, just real big. The knees, you've got a knee that is gray over the front of the joint that has a red upside-down right side up T that has, at the end of each prong, a, beam emitter on the knees. The foreleg here, it's funny because the legs aren't actually taller, even though they are thicker. So they look very short here, very like aquatic mobile suit because, you know, they're wider, but they aren't actually taller. So you've got these like little red calves, and then you've got a bit of ankle armor that is red. And the feet are a bit chunkier around the bottom of them. Just have a bit more armor and like a little extra red like toe piece there. The weapons on this include the beam lariat, which is hidden in the forearm. The red and the white parts separate. And it generates a big ring around the arm. Just a big beam ring. And it's called the beam lariat because you can, you know... You can lariat the opponent with them. You can, or clothesline them with them. It's great. It's got the shoulder tackle, so it can emit beam spikes from the shoulders, and it can also emit beam spikes from the knees. You can see all the parts there, right? All lit up there. This is just of solely a melee form that generates beams and beats the shit out of things. A lot of people I remember liked this one. This is actually the one I like the least, admittedly.
It's very silly, but I think for what it is, I appreciate the dedication.
Very goofy. We'll be able to talk about some fun variants of this design itself, a little later.
We're gonna be here a long time, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Alright, it's a two-parter.
Okay.
You've got half an hour.
Okay. Next up, we have the H1 Spallow. Or Sparrow. It's always spelled out as Spallow now, though, unfortunately. The Spallow is the high speed... So this is one of the drawbacks of the anime, in my opinion. It's another melee form. It is the speedy melee form, but it is a melee form again. Which is a little awkward, because in the video game, it has plenty of fucking gun forms, it's just it doesn't use any of them here, in the anime, so this is the last of the major anime wares. There are technically some other forms that appear in the anime, but this is the last of the wares that appear in the anime. So the arms now it has the shoulder armors that are thinner, and taller. They have, like, a little vent on the front and back that act as thrusters. A little bit of white armor on the outside. The bicep has been changed to blue. The lower forearm is now very circular. And it has these blue parts along the bottom that end with, like, a little white bit of armor. These blue parts along the bottom open up and are thrusters. So it has thrusters built into the arms for when it's swinging its weapon around. Which is actually pretty fucking cool. And then you've got black for the the lower part of the forearm, as well as the handguard and all that. For the legs, same thing with the front skirts, where it's just the simplified version of the skirts with just the yellow bits. Does have two blue side skirts, and then the rear skirts are now blue. The legs have an interesting structure to them. The thighs are pretty big along the top and actually kind of go down a little further than the other thighs on these along the front, because it creates a very, like, Ishigaki-like structure with the knee, right? Like, where the legs kind of have this nice, like, form, like, columnar form.
Like when they close up, yeah.
Something I usually associate with, like, Junya Ishigaki's designs.
For sure.
You got a little bit of... quick, you got these...
close-up here of the forearm thruster. Yeah. Open.
And then you've got the little vents on the sides of the thighs at the top. The lower leg, you've got blue knee armor, then the rest of the leg is more circular, and it's also black. And then you've got these very simple leg guards where it's got these like little circular bits of armor at the bottom. It's not even really like an ankle guard anymore. The feet are also very different. It's got like a circular piece in the middle, and then the toe coming out of the front, you've got black armor and then a white toe, and then you've got a black heel. There's a pretty big gap between the like on the bottom of the foot. It's got like very thin feet.
The design of it almost looks kind of what is it? What am I thinking of? There's some gunpla that I've built where it has this foot design where it's like there's a ring poking down and then the two sides of the feet plug in on either side.
Most designs from IBO do this, actually.
I was gonna say that, but then I felt like that was wrong.
Nope,
yeah,
most Gundam designs in IBO do feet like this. I believe also actually a lot of G-Witch designs do this as well. At least the main Gundam in that and all that. This is the high speed melee form. It adds two new weapons. It has the Shigeru blade, which is like a little dagger that has a solid piece. It is made out of a special material. It also does, it's a vibra blade, right? It vibrates really fast.
Sure.
And,
sure.
It is actually, it mentions this, despite its appearance, it's actually very heavy and requires the whole body to swing in order to make the blade swing well. The blade also requires time to solidify itself after cuts and cannot be used for long periods. But basically, it does, like, high-speed, you know, blade attacks. It is very evident this is a ninja, right? This form is a ninja.
Yeah. It even does a stupid, I mean, like, you know, listen, cool, but deeply impractical reverse grip.
Uh-huh.
So.
But it is cool. Is the thing. The other weapon it adds is there are needle launchers in the knees. They just fire at these, like, needle-shaped ammos that, you know, pierce. So that's fun. Do really like the forearm thrusters. That's probably my favorite thing on this design.
I think the legs look really good, and I like the sword. I think the arms, I know it's trying to be smaller, but it looks a little too compact. It looks like this thing was, like, half crushed because it's so tight, but
the
otherwise
kind of an interesting thing. Okay, so Spallow is actually the proper name according to Mark Simmons when he posted on one of the forums, and Mark Simmons is, you know, one of the official translators for Gundam. It's the reason why it's Spallow is because it spall means like spall is pieces of material that are sheared off from high impact collisions, which is how this operates. You know, it basically boosts really fast back and forth and slices parts off of the mobile suits. You know, that's the idea with it. So actually, okay, that is a fitting name. I did not know the term spall for that. But yeah. So these are the main anime wares. There are going to be more, though. One that we can talk about real quick. Well, no, it's not real quick because it has armor on it. So, all right. There's the Age 1 flat. Firstly, just going through the list in order, the Age 1 flat is after the age system is moved into the Age 2. This is what the Age 1 looks like. So, theoretically, you know, this does not have the learning computer and such anymore. So, the chest is now like flat. Turns out when you don't have the black A in there, I do think it makes the design very plain.
It does make it plain, but it also makes it better.
Oh my god. See, now this is where I know I disagree with you, because I hate this white chest.
I don't think it looks good. It looks unfinished. I think the other one looks much better. But you didn't finish it with something that looks bad, so...
Oh my god. Okay. Well, and then also, because the age system is, like, implied to have, like, that blue color, even the eyes change color on this. It now has, like, flat...
Which is
kind of yellow.
Which is actually
eyes.
Sick. Like the off-white eyes are great.
So this is used, in part two, and then, I believe, actually, when is this introduced in the show? Does it say appearances? Yeah, episode 22. So yeah, part two. And then it is still used through part three. And the main thing about it being used in part three is in order to keep up, it gets some additional external parts. So its armaments themselves are generally mostly the same. However, it can mount the Zephyl launchers, which are... Oh, here, you got me. All right. A pair of large... like high mobility units put onto the back that have large missiles in them. So these are basically like, you know, there are extra thrusters and whatnot in those. And those boxes on the front, though, the big gray boxes there, those fold under and fire two gigantic fucking missiles. These can be replaced with, or no, these are not replaced, right? No, the plasma diver missile is itself a weapon that the age
no, this is definitely not the same thing.
Yeah, no, I forgot about this. This is a giant missile meant to completely decimate a fortress. Yeah, it is a huge missile. But the Zephyl launchers themselves also have, you know, missiles in them. There is also another variant of this that we build off of that is essentially the full armor version, and this one will have to get more of a description from me because it adds a lot more. This is the Age 1 Glanza.
Which is a bad name.
Yeah, no, I don't like Glanza as a name.
It's a little too close to another word.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't worry, it'll get better. Okay, they definitely, like, took these, like, rear images off the website or something. Just the ways that they are crunchy is, like, very, you know, oh, this is, like, a, you know, website, like, low-quality JPEG of it that we took. So, this is a full armor pack, essentially, for the age. However, there is an even more full armor pack that we will be getting to in a little bit that is not this. This is the one that's used in the show, though, so this one matters more, even though the other one's cooler. What we have added is purple armor throughout the design. It is still essentially the Age 1 normal. We have added purple armor to the chest that also
I guess it's purple.
Or it's like eight
grayish,
gray,
lavendery.
Maybe, yeah, it's a weird color.
Yeah.
The armor is added to the chest, though, and adds some extra little vents along the bottom side of it in gray. There's armor added to the top and outer part of the shoulder, as well as an extra little, like, a bit of armor that is folded down over the shoulder there, over the bicep area. The arms now have a shield equipped on either arm there. The shields, I believe these are claws, if I remember right. Let me double check. It doesn't say what they are. They are shield rifles. Okay, they do have a rifle built into the middle as well. Okay, cool. And then, all right. Moving on to the skirt, you get...
They're actually kind of reminiscent of the things on the, fucking...
Brain, one sec.
Oh.
While my brain catches up with me. The, Penelope?
Oh, yeah. Especially because the shield rifles actually, can emit beam sabers, as can be seen here. Which is actually pretty cool.
I like the way they're drawn, the way that the bars on the side sort of enforce the width.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Plus, I just tend to like the pointy beam sabers. Like, I like the way the beam sabers tend to get drawn in age. Yeah. Then moving on to the waist, you've got the yellow skirt parts, and then you've got... It does have the white parts underneath, but then it's got the, you know, extra armor around them with the armor there. It has little gray thrusters on the bottom. You also add two big pieces to the rear plate of armor. And then you don't add anything to the thighs. The calves get a very large set of armor. You know, you got, like, a really big knee piece with, like, a big bar going down the middle. It's got, like, an extra guard going over the ankle armor, which I think is kind of funny. And then some extra armor on the back that looks like it has, like, an extra, like, bit of thrusters built into it. Yeah, very simple armor pack, you know, is armor worn over the whole body. I will say the good thing about, even though there's a lot of forms in this, is that they are kind of fast to talk about because you are not changing the body or the head, just the arms and legs.
Mm-hmm.
So we might actually be able to get through this. We'll see. I don't want to make too many promises, but we'll see what happens. There is also a variant for this called the Age 1 Full Glanza. That's the one that has the name I really don't like, because Full Glanza is just an awful mouthfeel in general. However, it has the, you know, the launchers on the back, and then it also has the Glanza armor. So, yeah. Does look cool. I kind of like it. Just because, a little bit much on the colors, but I like the silhouette.
Do you think does it change the model number? Is it like the FG, do you think, or?
I don't know. Well, no, because the H1F would be H1 flat, and then H1G would be Glanza. I don't know.
So it's probably still just G Full Glanza.
Oh, right, yeah. I'll just write it that way. You gotta write it that way, yes.
Whatever.
Yeah. All right. What? I didn't know about this one. Yeah? Sorry, I just ran into something weird. The Age 1 Daiki version? Daiki's version, has a T instead of an A? I don't know.
Give me a T!
I don't know why it has a T.
Because it's for treasure.
Oh, yeah, because it's in Treasure Star. Okay. Daiki Ryuzaki. Oh my god, this is the most goofy-looking guy. This is like a...
wow, this is...
This is the most, like... You know...
This is the guy who built the... This is the kid who built the Perfect Gundam, right?
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of, yeah. Treasure Star... Okay, what was this even? Oh, it was in KoroKoro. What the hell? That's not usually a publication that has Gundam stuff, I don't think. I don't know, actually. I don't think, I just don't remember KoroKoro comics coming up all that often.
We're getting a preview of some kind of form that looks interesting.
What? Oh, yeah. Well,
it's the age one fucking Digimon.
Yeah, we'll talk about that, Oh, wait, no, we have to talk about that now. That is exclusive to Daiki, actually, and his and thing, so...
Alright, well...
Alright, the Age 1 Phoenix. I've never seen this before, actually. Because this was not in the video game. This is for the manga, Treasure Star. Huh. Okay, the Phoenix Wear... So the kid's an X-Rounder. He is a new type, which is
okay.
Uh-huh.
No, it's part of the picture gallery. We'll talk about this in a minute, I guess, but it can do a thing.
Okay. So, these are... So this whole setup... Okay. You get... Red armor on the shoulders that is pointy, has little cameras on the front and back, changes the shape drastically. Red bicep and forearm that are similar to the base Age 1 design, then it's got these little blue forearm guards that have like a mounting point on the outside. For the legs, you get this pointy blue armor around the skirt, the side skirts, you have these feather-like armors going down. Then... For the, there's also a red piece on the front skirt. I didn't notice that was attached. So it's got that blue pointy part on top, and then it's got like a red pointy bit on the bottom that has a little bit of yellow armor facing at an angle on the outside. We do not have a rear shot of this, so I cannot tell you what the rear skirt looks like, really. The upper thighs are red and they have more of a angular design where they're like, you know, there's like a, they come to a, like a point at the front. Looks like they have like a little bit of yellow detail on the sides of them. Like little vents facing forward. Then you've got interesting knee design. The knees have like a split in them around the joint and go up around the thigh a little bit. You have like an extra camera added to the leg there on the sides as well as on the front below the knee. Also has some yellow fins attached on the base of the calf there going forward. For the feet, you've got fucking, I don't know, fucking Mercury shoes, but in red. It's like a yellow bit of armor on the top, two little like wings on the sides of the feet that are swept back, and then like red on the bottom of the feet. Finally, the backpack is like, looks like it's on a big mounting arm that is actually, it's less attached to even just the backpack, and you can see it's like around the collar. And it has these huge wings that are kind of remind me of the, like, the Wing Gundam's wings, like, in terms of color and size, mixed with, like, the G Gundam, or, the God Gundam's, backpack, kinda. But, like, big, you know? So they're, like, a big mm-hmm. white wing with, like, a little red bit at the base,
But they bottom. Look, they don't look like proper wings, they look kind of clumsy.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why I meant they look, like, mechanical, you know?
No, but I mean, like, their shape is wrong.
That's true. And it has four of these, like, wing shapes on the back, and, these are the multi-purpose weapon system. The Phoenix parts are able to switch into three different modes, a long-range cannon mode, a defensive shield mode, and a close combat sword mode. We only, unfortunately, have a picture of the sword mode there, from the manga. Wherein, yeah, all these parts, like, basically pop off, of the backpack and come together as, like, a big fucking sword. And then it does, like, a slash and it just launches the upper half of it.
I guess that's correct.
Well, because if you look, he's still holding, like, the base sword that's at the, you know, base that he's holding there.
Yeah, no.
He just launches the whole upper bit. That's so weird. Okay. Yeah. I've never seen this before. No one's ever talked about Treasure Star. I wonder if Treasure Star even got to finish, honestly. Alright. Moving on from there. Next up, we have the Age 1 Razor from Unknown Soldiers. This is actually a pack I quite like. Another melee pack, unfortunately, given the name. That we will get to ranged ones soon, I promise. I really like this one's design, though. So, here we are.
This one's rear art looks okay.
Yep. The Age 1...
It seems like it was drawn by a human.
The Age 1 Razor, SN... a design that appears in Unknown Soldiers, which was a comic that ran in Hobby Japan. And it is another, you know, melee blade-based form. It's based on the Spallow, but they wanted to overcome the wear resistance of the Spallow's Shigeru blade. So it actually has multiple blades that have the same composition as the Shigeru blade, but all over the body. So the idea is that it can keep using these blades, like, you know, rather than having to, like, have all of them recharge.
Gotcha.
So, the differences are, if you look at the shoulders, you've now got these really neat shoulders that are, like, blue on the outer part, and then it's got, like, a white part at the base where it's connected, and it almost has, like, an axe shape, right? Because it's got, like, a blade going forward and back, coming out of the shoulder there. I actually really like these shoulders a lot. The upper bicep, the outer part of the bicep is actually, like, reinforced, like, there's an extra bit of armor there compared to some of the other age wares we've looked at, rather than just having the, block of, you know, block bicep. Joint, your standard double joint, the forearms, kind of an interesting boxy shape to them, but not, like, they're not square, really, And then you've got, like, a blue cuff around the base that has hexagonal armor on the sides of the arm. And then on the bottom side of the arm, you've got, like, a big mounting mechanism for these large blades. The blade themselves, just because it's attached to the arm, so I may as well describe them. You've got, like, a black handle that pops, like, sort of up and back. Then you've got, like, a blue piece attached to the base of that, and then a long green blade going down the edge of the gray and blue bits. Also has a bit more gray armor along the bottom, but yeah, these big, like, green blades, basically, going down them. For these skirts, the front skirts have been replaced with these, like, sharp bits of blue armor that have some white at the base of them. The side skirts are also pointy, just, you know, pointing straight down. The rear skirts, very extended and very pointy. Blue on the edges and then white in the, like, sort of middle and the inner middle parts of the armor. For the thighs, actually very simple thigh design here, made up for by the lower leg being a very weirdly constructed lower leg. So it's like you've got these three hexagonal panels, like tall hexagonal panels, making up like the sides of the leg armor there, right? Then you've got this big blue piece attached to the front that in between like the two halves of the blue piece, like in the middle of them, you've got a big green blade sandwiched in there. With a little bit of gray backing it. Then you've got just some armor protecting the front of the foot, and you've got these very thin feet, and these are, in fact, high heels. Very high heels. So the heel, quite tall, and then you've got this, like, really weirdly, like...
It's got platform feet.
Yeah, the way the shoes are color, like the way that there's, like, these little carvings in the sides of the front toe is really weird. Gives the feet very unique shape. Yeah, so this is an age, this whole thing's body is a weapon, right? It's got the razor blades on each arm, and it's got razor blades on the legs.
It's extremely funny to me that you need to be a new type to pilot this because the swords are heavy.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I assume it's just that in order to pilot this properly, there's a lot of strain going on. The blades on the arms are removable, by the way, and it can hold them in the hand. And
it can also combine them to Darth Maul it up.
Yeah, I was going to say, as Ebikawa loves doing with both the Avalanche Exia and this, the big blades you can combine into a bigger blade. Fuck, he really did just use that design on the Metal Build Exia, Avalanche Exia. Shit, it's like almost the same blade design, too. That's very funny.
Well, no one likes his fucking age designs because they're all associated with age, so you might as well reuse them.
Yeah, that's true. I do think this design's sick, though. I love this thing.
This is really cool, and I also will say, I think drawn, like, in this is not Sete.
Yeah.
And when you draw it with, like, actually drawing the detail on the doors on the age device, it looks a lot better.
Yeah. So, yeah, the age one Razor, followed by, not the Glanza, because we already talked about that. Okay. Followed by, just going down the list, the Assault Jacket, the actual full armor one. I like this one a lot. So, here we are. We've got the Age 1 Assault Jacket. This is not on the Age 1 flat, it just has armor over the Age system. That's funny. There are two units of this too, though, which is fun.
And we only have rear art of Unit 2, so I'm going to put the front art of Unit 2 up here just so you can see how the color...
Yeah,
so that you don't think that the back is... They're good. Yeah.
So, this design, because this is a full armor and it doesn't swap the wares, it's actually the Age 1 normal underneath, but we add armor to the torso. So, the Glanza is clearly made to be, like... animation friendly. This is a lot more complex, the way the armor is on, right? Like, it adds armor to the torso, but it's got a lot more angles going on in it. It's got, like, it's wrapped around the torso, you've got this white cap put over the age system, it's got these two little, like, prong bits of armor that are going over that cap, and then also it's got these, like, little bars of darker armor in the middle on the outer part of the torso there, you can see. And it's also got two prongs going around, like, the, what would be a cockpit hatch on most Gundams, like, on the bottom, but just that little blue piece. This also adds armor to the shoulders. On the top of the shoulder, you get, like, this extra, you know, like, same color as the Glance's armor, actually, basically. But it's got these little yellow cameras on the front and back of the shoulders. Actually, just on the front. You can see on the rear, it doesn't light up. So, just on the front. It adds a little bit of extra armor on the left arm, but honestly, these are just armaments, so I'll wait. The waist, you add extra armor around the yellow piece again. Just another flavor of adding a different, you know, skirt armor, because they always feel obligated to change that, which is fine. It's just, you know. For the side skirts, there's clearly something attached in there that looks cylindrical, but I can't tell what that is. I don't know if that's extra ammo or what.
It's hard to tell.
Yeah, it doesn't mention it, on the article from what I can see. But there's definitely, like, some weird cylinder on the side skirt there. And then the rear skirt, you've got extra armor on both parts of the rear skirt that have these little cuts, on them, and then also a little bit of extra armor on the middle plate on the bottom. No extra armor on the thigh, but lots of extra armor on the lower legs. You've got, extra armor over the knee that has a camera at the bottom of it. It goes around the sides of the leg. I like the shape of it there. You get extra armor on the back of the leg that does add a very visible thruster. And then you get extra armor around the ankle guard on the front that's got these, like, two little, like, teeth, I guess. I don't know what to call them. These two, like, protrusions, that are sticking forward on them that look quite
It's nice. Kind of, they feel like the older style of car bumper where there were the two parts that stuck forward to sort of catch the impact before the rest of it hit.
And then also over the backpack, we actually add a bunch of extra armor. It gets sort of the spoiler, but it does add, like, a little fin just to keep that same thing going on the top of the backpack, which I think is hilarious. Has a white cap of armor over the middle of the backpack, and then you've got three larger thrusters over the extra armor, like, where the three thrusters are on the normal design. It also, on the, above the outer top thrusters, on the one side you have, on the, when you're looking at it, its right side, you know, on the left when you're looking at it from the front, but on its right, a cannon mount is added, and then on the other side are a bunch of sensors. Again, very evident that they are doing the full armor Gundam thing with the setup here. As for the extra equipment, we have the double-barreled Dodds rifle, which is on the right arm there. You can see it's a shield with two square barreled rifles. I love that. I love that it's doing the double beam rifle again from the original full armor Gundam.
Full armor.
It's big and it looks cool. Then on the left arm we have a shield. The shield is where the beam sabers are kept. You can see them actually if you look at the side of the shield. You see that like white bit of arm?
Oh yeah.
They pop out of the sides of the shield there. And then also it has beam Vulcans, which I assume are those barrels at the bottom, of the shield there. The shield itself also, it's weird because it's actually like a big mount that has the regular Age 1 shield. Like if you're looking at the rear, you can see it's just got the regular Age 1 shield plugged into it, on the outside. So it's just like an extra set of layers underneath that, which is, that's fun.
I have no complaints about this design. This design is sick.
Yeah, no, it's very funny. I can sometimes get very tired of full armors, but I think this thing's great. Especially the Unit 2. I love those Unit 2 colors, like the blue.
It feels like a G3 almost, color-wise.
And then it has like the yellow lighting and stuff on the head. It's just
very cool.
All right.
Do you want to end today on the Badland?
Well, do we want to end today actually on that, and then we will talk about, because all the rest of them are video game ones, and we'll just have the second episode be all the weird video game shit. Because like technically,
okay, well, the Badland is also video game.
Well, that's why I was saying we'll just end here right now.
Oh, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. We won't get to talk about it right now, but I'm in love with how terrible this art looks.
So the reason why this art looks weird, A lot of this art was done for comparative purposes, so it only changes, like, one arm, for instance. And because these are, like, sketches for the 3D designers, rather than full line.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why the right arm is asymmetrical. If you look down at, like, the render in-game or, like, the model there, the arms are supposed to be symmetrical. The problem is they want to show comparatives for people doing the models. These were not, like... These were not meant for public eyes. These are sets, hey, that are meant for, like, hey, video game designer, here's what this wear looks like, you know?
Gotcha. That's cute.
But yeah, we'll save all those for that. There's still a couple that get fancier art, because they appear in both the video game and in a couple other things, but basically we'll just save everything for next time, and it'll be faster because we'll just, you know, be able to speed run. We're talking about lots of arms and legs and weapons, basically, next time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, with that, Six, where can people find you and your work online?
You can find me on Twitter at sixdetmar, sixdettmar. That's also where you can find me on co-host. My DMs are open for any questions, comments, listener requests, or anything of that sort. If you want to request we cover a specific machine, I guess it doesn't have to be a machine, but probably, you know, we need to be able to do our normal design approach, generally speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're like, talk about the Desperate Housewives of New York, I would actually say no, because I would not be able to say anything.
Hey, it's really funny that we covered the fucking Boeing thing, and then Boeing assassinated a guy.
Right? I mean, it is clearly bad, right? When we say it's funny,
I mean, no, it's awful. It's fucked up, but like man.
Corporations are allowed to just do hits now, which is pretty cool.
Now?
But, fair, fair.
Oh, actually, before we end, also, real quick, since you've already probably listened to a bunch of this anyway, and I'm hoping you're still listening to the outro, I just want to show a couple little things. Minor quick things. We don't have to cover the whole thing with the age. God damn it, out of the way, Flit. I don't care about you. Here's the original sketch of the age one. This is the original design that is, you know, very RX-7080. Fun fact, it's kind of mixed with what the original H2 is, like, for the final design, because the H2, originally there were five, because there's a Mark II here, right?
Oh.
But they didn't do that on the final. You can see it doesn't have the spoiler, it has the beam sabers on the back, like, they're the flat beam sabers that, you know, the H has. Different rifle design, etc. Kind of fun, seeing those. And then also, real quick, the original versions of the H1's wares. Just from the initial Ebikawa sketches. The far left one is I believe a solid melee type. Then you've got a, like, long range type with, like, a, you know, big cannon. I love the way that you can see it's like a big folding cannon, that is attached mm-hmm. partially to the backpack there. Then you've got essentially the Spallow, but with swords. it has a wakizashi and a katana, and then a similar form to the Titus. I love the picture of the Titus hugging an enemy to death there. Also, it is drawn in a much scarier way. Like, look at the way, like, he draws, like, it even says, yeah, it's supposed to have, like, an imposing gorilla silhouette is what it's supposed to do. Like, you know, have the arms, like, splayed out, kind of. I would assume that's just more of a wrestler stance, but I don't know how gorillas stand. What do gorillas look like? I know what a gorilla looks like, but... No, because gorillas always have their hands on the ground, is the thing. Eh, whatever. But I like seeing these early versions of the H1's packs also. Just kind of a fun thing to throw at the end, since I had the Ebikawa book open that had those. All right. Six, were you able to find any quotes?
Super wasn't. No one quotes this
show.
Yeah,
no one fucking quotes age. Flit's girlfriend is named Yurin. You know, it's Yudin, but it's Yurin. You can't name a character Yurin. H loves having... Fuck! Between Glansa, Yurin, and a character in 3 whose name is Natora Anus, they loved having fucked up names.
Okay, yeah, they wanted this one.
Well, it's Einasu. Like, E-I-N-U-S, and then in Japanese pronounced Einasu. I'm like, But you can't... Yeah. Anyway, alright. Peace.
Peace.
した涙が今日も星になり静かに見守ってる次の時代へ受け継がれてく空をそっと抱きしめた終わらない